السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وبعد. So yesterday we were discussing some of the tactics that will be used by Dajjal. He will show water and he will show fire, but his fire will be water and his water will be fire, and that will be part of his trickery. Another example we gave, and these are from the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He'll go unto a people who will be suffering from poverty, drought, and he'll say, "Believe in me." If they claim to believe in him, they will enjoy prosperity. The rains will come, the crops will grow, the animals will fatten. And he'll go to another group and say, "Believe in me," and they'll refuse, and they will continue to suffer even greater poverty and even greater affliction in terms of their crops and their animals. Then we also explained that he will go to a Bedouin, a simple-minded person, and say, "Believe in me." And the Bedouin will say, "Well, what's your evidence?" He'll say, "Well, I'll resurrect your parents who have passed away a long time ago." And he'll bring two jinnat who will take the form of this Bedouin's parents and say, "No, believe in him. He is Allah." Waliyadu billah. Then the incident of the young man that we discussed yesterday, that the Dajjal will say to him that, "Believe in me," and he'll refuse. So the Dajjal will punish him very savagely, and he will beat him, and he'll still refuse. Then he'll chop him in half, and his body will split in two parts, and he'll walk between the two parts, and he'll instruct the body to come back to life. And this will happen only by the power of Allah. And when that youngster comes back to life, the Dajjal will ask him, "Do you now believe in me?" He'll say, "No, I am now even more convinced that you are the Dajjal." Because the Jews believe that the Messiah will come for their salvation, there will be a lot of Jews that will follow the Dajjal, and they will be part of his army, and they will gather with him. In one narration, it is mentioned that the Dajjal will camp in salt marshes, and many women will be attracted by his trickery. So much so that the men will have so much of fear, they'll actually tie their own mothers and sisters and women folk just so that they don't fall prey to the tactics of the Dajjal. His fitna will be so severe that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam warned, if you hear that he's around, don't go to him. Don't confront him, because there will be those people who will think, "No, my iman is strong." But when they come in front of him, he'll be so captivating that they will lose the iman. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala save us and protect us. And then towards the end yesterday, we were speaking about how do we protect ourselves. So we spoke about reading the first 10 ayat of Suratul Kahf and the entire Suratul Kahf, because there's a relation there, the youth who was seeking protection from the tyrant. Now to add on to that, the scholars write that seek refuge in Allah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us that famous dua, that, "Oh Allah, I seek protection in you from the hellfire. Wa min fitnatil mahya wal mamat wa min fitnatil masihid dajjal." Seek protection in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala from that. Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, like I just said, he advised that if you know he's around, don't go near him. But if you happen to be in front of him, then read Suratul Kahf. Read Suratul Kahf. And tell him on his face that you are a kafir and you are not Allah. And I believe in the one Allah. That's if you happen now to be in front of him. The scholars also explain, and I touched on this point yesterday and we'll elaborate further, that if you look at that youngster, the reason he was able to withstand the punishment and even the resurrection is because he had knowledge of the coming of the Dajjal. So when we stop talking about him and we stop learning about him, then we put ourselves at risk. The more we know, inshallah, if he is to come, the more we will be able to defend ourselves. Now, Isa alayhi salam is the one who will kill the Dajjal. Imam Mahdi will still be there. The Muslims will gather. The Dajjal will be chased by the angels from Medina towards Greater Syria, Sham. Greater Syria is Syria of today, Jordan, Palestine, Lebanon, that whole region. And he will be near a place called Lud, which is in Palestine. So Isa alayhi salam, as we have previously discussed, will come down in Damascus. And when he comes down, they say that Allah will give him such a power that whoever is a non-believer and they catch the breath of Isa alayhi salam, they'll die on the spot. So as far as his breath can reach, and his breath will reach as far as he can see. So he's coming down. When he comes down, that will be the first impact. And then he will pursue the Dajjal. Now the scholars say, and this is the interesting part, I'm just giving you the summary of the hadith, that when the Dajjal sees Isa alayhi salam, he will start to melt. He will start to melt. Just like how salt kind of dissolves. And then they say that Isa alayhi salam will strike him with a sword and he'll show the blood to the people. Now, there's an interesting discussion here. that okay, if he's going to melt, just as salt melts in water, right? Just as salt dissolves in water, then the blood, how do you reconcile between the two? Because if he's a jinn, then you can understand that he'll melt. If he's a human, you can understand that he will bleed. How do you reconcile between the two? And that is where that one opinion I shared with you the other day. Some scholars, although in a minority, say that he will be a jinn, but who will occupy the body of a human. That's why you will get both the effects, the death of a jinn and the death of a human. And there are some ulama who say that the Dajjal is neither pure human nor pure jinn. He's a very unique creation of Allah, who's a combination of human and jinn. Hence, the hadith talks about both aspects, that he will melt. Just upon the sight of Isa alayhi salam, he will start melting like salt dissolves in water, but then Isa alayhi salam will still strike him with whatever the weapon. Here the word is used sword, but whatever the weapon is there, and there will be blood which will result, and that will be the evidence that that Dajjal is no more. So that is how he will meet his end, and this will take place at the place called Lud, which is in current day Palestine. And there then all the enemies will be vanquished, and they will be defeated, the enemies of Islam. And after that, then the era of Isa alayhi salatu wasalam will commence. There's just a few concluding points that we need to discuss with regards to Dajjal before we close that particular chapter. And then we've done with Imam Mahdi and Dajjal, and we move on, inshallah. May Allah tabarak wa ta'ala grant us the understanding.